In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. The following reading is from Psalm 63. It is one of the six psalms which we read at Matins. If not on Sunday mornings, you hear it in the night services of Holy Week. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsts for thee. My flesh fainteth for thee as in a dry and weary land where no water is. To behold thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on thy name. The psalm speaks to us of the desire for God. Desire. The question is, does it speak to us? Does it speak about us? Do we have a desire for God? Or is it more often than not that we only desire something from God? In this morning's gospel, the disciples wanted to perform a miracle, the healing of the man's possessed son, but they failed. And we hear the Lord's stinging rebuke of the disciples for their lack of faith. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And after Jesus healed the young man, the disciples asked him, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus answered, because of your unbelief. And then he uttered his famous words, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, move hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But then the Lord gives them his less famous but crucially important condition to faith. He gives them a however, an albeit. And the Lord rarely gives a however to any of his statements. He usually says, verily, verily, this is how it is. But here Jesus says, albeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The disciples needed great faith, but also a little something extra. The spiritual power of prayer and fasting. Which is to say, they needed by prayer and fasting to be closer to God. They needed the activation, the empowerment of faith, which is by prayer and fasting. It's no surprise that we will hear this gospel once more in the heart of Great Lent, the time of the clarion call to prayer and fasting. But we hear it during this Holy Dormition season also. The holy elder Paisius said, faith is strengthened through prayer. We can ask Christ to add to our faith and to increase its strength. What did the apostles say to the Lord? Didn't they say, increase our faith? When you say increase, you are entrusting yourself to God. For if one does not entrust himself to God, what is God going to increase in him? We ask God to increase our faith, not so that we can do miracles, but to love him all the more. To love him all the more. Faith is activated and revealed by love. St. Herman said, a true Christian is made by faith and love towards Christ. And he says, if we have faith and love for Christ, not even our sins will hinder us. Our sins will not hold us back if we have genuine love and faith in Jesus Christ. The Venerable Bede said, they alone know how to believe in God who love God, who are Christians not only in name, but also in action and in way of life. Because without love, he says, faith is empty. With love, it is the faith of a Christian. Without love, the faith of a demon. For he was quoting the epistle of St. James, where he says, even the demons believe and tremble. Even the demons have faith The Christian faith has to be expressed in action, has to be activated by the action of love. St. Maximus the Confessor, whom we remember in the church today, says, just as the thought of fire does not warm the body, but only real fire, actual fire, can warm us, so faith without love does not actualize the light of spiritual knowledge in the soul. Another father says, the whole thing is this. We must have a complete and total desire for spiritual blessings. And this is why discipline of the flesh, consisting of fasting, chastity, and so forth, are undertaken to help one another when joined together with prayer. And at this point, I'm going to let the elder Paisias finish my sermon. He says, so to love God, we must believe in God. The greater our faith, the greater our hope and love and sacrifice for God and for our neighbor. A fervent faith in God brings forth a fervent love for God and for the image of God, our fellow man. He says, we believe strongly, and then we love strongly. He continues, our faith must have self-sacrificial love. And that's where the love-filled struggle begins. The more we struggle with love, the more our faith will increase. And the more our love will increase. In this self-sacrificial filled struggle, it helps greatly to keep God's blessings in mind. Someone who has a strong sense of this self-sacrificial love, which is, he uses a Greek word, philotimo, for that. He says he does not, that person does not wonder if there is paradise, but struggles because he believes and loves God. Whereas someone who does not have this self-sacrificial love will begin to wonder, why should I even struggle? Does paradise really exist? Will there be a judgment day? And when someone is ungrateful, no matter what you do for him, he will still be ungrateful. Whereas the person who has self-sacrificial love praises God even in a time of temptation and will gradually start being continuously grateful to God. And that's when the divine transformation comes to his soul, keeping him in constant joy and gladness. Another person may have no temptations or trials of any kind and only have blessings, and yet will never be satisfied with anything. Self-sacrificial love. He says, after our love for God comes sacrifice. And when there is sacrifice, without any trace of selfishness, then one begins to be blessed with divine events, with miracles. He says, I must make a sacrifice for no other reason than for God who created this universe and provides us with so many blessings. But the elder says, but people don't believe. People don't believe, and so they don't sacrifice themselves. For one to have true spiritual joy, he must have faith and love. So someone asked the elder, Paisias, they said, Elder, I feel insecure. I'm anxious about life. And the elder answered, ensure yourself, my child, in God. Do you only know about car insurance? Aren't you familiar with God's insurance? Make the sign of the cross before you do anything and say, my Christ, help me. Theotokos, help me. Is there any greater insurance than our trust in God? When man entrusts himself to God, he receives a constant supply of super gasoline, and his spiritual vehicle never stops. It runs constantly. As far as possible, he says, be careful, pray, and entrust yourself to God, and he will help you in every difficulty. But the elder says, simplify your life. Simplify your life with an absolute trust in God, and you will be freed from any stress and anxiety. The disciples' failure to cast out the demon was no doubt a blow to their self-confidence. And that, according to the elder, is a good thing. The elder said, nowhere does the gospel tell you to believe in yourself. Nowhere Does the gospel tell you to believe in yourself, but to believe God, that God can help, that God can heal? He says, if we are to stop being tormented by life, we must believe what Jesus Christ said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This means that man must lose hope in himself, in a good sense, and put his faith and trust in God. When someone loses hope in himself, again in a good sense, it is then that he finds God. My every hope I place in thee. Because even the most spiritual people, people that are sanctified, that are illuminated, they're on their way to the kingdom, he says even those people do not have their life secured. And that's why they keep themselves constantly in the security of God, entrusting themselves to God and giving up any hope in their own ego. For it is this ego which brings man every spiritual misfortune. Self-confidence is our greatest and worst enemy. Trust in God attracts God's help, says the elder. The Christian believes and entrusts himself to God unto death, and then he can see clearly the hand of God guiding and saving him. When we place our future in God's hands, we oblige him to help us. When we say to the Lord, my life is in your hands, God is obligated to us. Imagine that. God is obligated to us. When we trust God, the elder says, we can make this life a paradise, praising God for everything. And without faith and trust in God, we can make this life a hell. But with faith, all our demons can be cast out. So brothers and sisters, let us choose to live in paradise now, walking in faith, walking in trust, walking with our Lord, talking with our God, trusting his word. For he said, faith can move mountains, but the word also says, for those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory.